Hey everyone, Eric here. I am the host of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. Join me for a new episode every Wednesday as I delve into the unseen world with historians, authors, researchers, and investigators as we try to understand and make sense of the paranormal. You can listen to past and future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or at unseenparanormalpodcast.com. Please like the show on Facebook and share with your friends. And remember, some of the scariest things are unseen.
It's almost Halloween. Can you believe we only have a few more days until all the stores will start taking down Halloween decorations and then putting up Christmas stuff? Hopefully, you caught our last episode on Calhoun Square in Savannah. Today, we're heading to Florida to talk about the Kenwood Inn in St. Augustine, Florida. Alan, can you give us some details on this historic inn?
On the northwest corner of Bridge and Marine Streets, close to the St. Augustine Historic District, you will find the oldest bed and breakfast in St. Augustine, Florida. The three-story pink Victorian-era Queen Anne-style building is one of the most popular inns in the oldest city in the United States. The building was built originally as a boarding house at the end of the Civil War. In 1886, it became the Hotel Le Borde. The building was built originally as a boarding house at the end of the Civil War. In 1886, it became the Hotel Le Borde. In the late 19th century, Henry Flagler built the Ponce de Leon, and the St. Augustine started to become a home away from home for snowbirds who came down from up north. One of the prominent families that came to St. Augustine was J.L. Morgan and his wife. They were related to the governor of Florida. Like Flagler, Morgan was a very wealthy man who already owned an inn in North Carolina, which he maintained as an escape from the sweltering Florida summers. Through his ties to the governor, Morgan would eventually become the Florida Railroad Commissioner. Seeing the untapped potential of St. Augustine, Morgan bought the Hotel Le Borde in 1911. After putting his own touch on the building by adding a wing to the back, Morgan's wife renamed the old boarding house the Marine Street Inn.
The property changed hands several times after Morgan's death and eventually was renamed the Kenwood Hotel. In the 1960s, when the Ponce de Leon Hotel was converted from a lavish hotel to Flagler College, St. Augustine saw a massive influx of students. The inn became a boarding house and was home to hundreds of young men and women who moved to St. Augustine to live near the beach and attend Flagler College. Several years later, the boarding house was sold and became an inn. In fact, it is not only the oldest bed and breakfast in St. Augustine, it was also the first.
Guests that stay in room 7, which is also called the Country French Room, they share their quarters with an entity named Raymond. It's believed that Raymond is actually Raymond Le Borde, who was one of the original owners of the building. He is said to be quite mischievous and plays jokes on staff members and guests. Raymond likes to mess with the lights in room 7 and turns them off and on from time to time. Some visitors to the inn have also reported experiencing a frigid, unseen specter sitting down on the bed with them some nights. Others have even claimed that Raymond gently tucked them in as they were about to go to sleep. Raymond has also been known to walk around the halls at night, as guests have reported hearing heavy footsteps at odd hours of the night. Raymond also likes to hang out in the dining room downstairs. Guests have claimed to see a well-dressed man in the room, but every time he's greeted, he disappears slowly right in front of their eyes.
But Raymond isn't the only ghost at the Kenwood Inn. The spirit of a beautiful young girl named Lavender also is believed to be staying at the inn. According to legend, Lavender had a room at the old boarding house in the early 20th century. As a single young woman in St. Augustine, Lavender had many suitors. But the one who swept her off her feet was a local doctor who would come visit her frequently. Lavender was in love and considered him to be the man of her dreams, except for one small thing. The young doctor was married, but he swore he was going to leave his wife and promise Lavender that they would be together. However, as days turned to weeks and weeks into months, he always seemed to have a reason why he couldn't leave his wife each time Lavender asked him about their future. Finally, Lavender had enough and decided she would give the doctor an ultimatum: leave his wife, or she would tell her about their torrid love affair. Late one night, the doctor made a house call to see Lavender, as he normally did. But during his rendezvous, something was a little off. Lavender broke down in tears and told him she could no longer see him if he was going to go home to his wife. Again, the young man promised he was going to get a divorce, but just needed more time. Typically, Lavender would give in, but this time she was angry and told him flat out that she couldn't see him anymore. But not only was she going to tell his wife everything, but she would tell his patients and ruin his reputation and career. The physician became enraged and started shouting at the young lady. As Lavender stood her ground, refusing to back down, the situation quickly escalated. The doctor grabbed a knife and began violently stabbing her. Confused and betrayed, Lavender fell to the ground into a pool of her own blood. Within minutes, her broken heart stopped beating. The doctor fled the scene, but was apprehended a short time later and charged with murder. But being a wealthy man with friends in the right places, his attorney managed to sway a jury of his peers, and he was acquitted of Lavender's murder.
Since Lavender's tragic death and her murderer's acquittal, she has chosen to stay behind at the old boarding house and makes herself known from time to time. Guests have claimed to smell sweet perfume around the inn when no one is present. There is even a room in the inn named after Lavender, but the room is not considered to be very haunted. Most hotels and inns in St. Augustine tend to run away from their alleged ghosts, but the Kenwood Inn actually embraces their eternal guests. Upon arrival, those that stay in the inn are given some information about the property, including a brief history. They are also given the lowdown on the ghosts. One employee I talked to told me they don't consider the inn to be haunted because the ghosts there are actually pretty friendly.
We hope you enjoyed our episode on the inn. If you would like to learn more about haunted locations around St. Augustine, download the St. Augustine Ghost Map app in iTunes and Google Play. Also, check out our website, southernghoststories.com, where you can find old podcasts as well as the books that we've written. Feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts. We would love to hear about any creepy experiences you may have had. And feel free to give us some ideas on new locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
And those books Chelsea mentioned are Southern Ghost Stories, Historical Hauntings, Haunted Hotels, Ghost of Gallatin, and our newest ones, Murfreesboro, Spirits of Stones River. Please check out the Southern Ghost Stories Facebook page, where we have some events coming up this month. We're doing two events in Gallatin on October 23rd and 24th. We will keep everyone updated through the Facebook page. I'll also be at the Shadow Chasers Ghost Walk in Murfreesboro on October 30th. You can find out more information about that also on the Facebook page. Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are very helpful, and we really appreciate everyone who's taken a few minutes to do it for us. Please check back with us next time as we head up north to Salem, Massachusetts, to talk about the Samuel Pickman House.
Hi, everyone! It's almost Halloween! Can you believe we only have a few more days until all the stores will be taking... let me start that over again. But we are still going to get to spooky...
We are still going to get a spooky on the podcast.
It didn't make any sense. It was a weird sentence.
We get spooky with a pizza pie.
The doctor fled the scene, but was apprehended a short time later and charged with murder. But being a wealthy man with friends in the right places, his attorney managed to sway a jury of his peers, and he was acquitted of Lavender's murder.
I just want to say bravo. You did a very good job there. Like, if there was a podcast award for best reading of a script, you would get it every time.
Well, thank you.
Since Lavender's tragic death and her mother's acquittal...
Feel free to see... Feel, I don't know where I was going with that one.
Why don't mummies take time off from work? They don't like to unwind.